Lord, thank you because your word is life, your word is power, and your word will find root in our heart today, in Jesus' mighty name. The Lord has given us his word of prophecy for this year, and you will do well if you hold on to it, meditate on it, pray it. It says in Genesis 12:2, I will make you a great nation. I will bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing. Hallelujah. This scripture verse, we can break it into four segments. Amen. But before we break them into four segments, I want you to remember that before a promise, there is always an instruction. Before any promise, there is always an instruction. So if you look back to Genesis 12, verse 1. Now the Lord has said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. Then he says, I will make you a great nation. Hallelujah. God simply told Abraham, follow me. From now, you follow me. Don't be distracted. Just concentrate on me. And don't allow anything to distract you. If you follow me, you will see how I'm going to bless you. This year, I pray that you will not be distracted. You will not be sidetracked from following the will of God. Let me tell you something. The Bible says in Mark 13, verse 37, very, very clear scriptures. This was what Jesus said. He said, and what I say to you, I say to all, watch. If God said it to Abraham, it's related to you. It's related to me. Every part of scripture is related to us. God may put somebody else's name there. He says, what I say to that person, I am saying to everybody. Can I hear somebody say amen?
Amen.
What are the four segments we are talking about this morning? Number one, he says, I will make you a great nation. We are going to look into how to discover greatness this year, and you are going to be great.
Amen.
Tell your neighbor, say, you are going to be great.
Amen.
And he said, I will bless you. That is empowerment. Nothing missing, nothing broken. This year, you are going to discover what real blessing means.
Oh, wow.
I said, this year, you will discover what real blessing means. Then he says, I will make your name great. Making your name great means taking territories. I see you take territories this year.
Amen.
I see you break new frontiers this year.
Amen.
In the mighty name of Jesus.
Amen.
Then he said, and you shall be a blessing. What does this mean? This is where significance comes in. Intentional service. Intentional what? Service. That is significance. And this year, you will be significant. I say you will be significant in Jesus' mighty name. What does significance really mean? This is how I broke it down. Significance means the quality of being worthy. Actually, this is from the dictionary. Significance means the quality of being worthy of attention, of being a person of consequence. That's my own. A person of importance. A cannot do without person. That is what significance means. If you are replaceable, means you are not significant. Are you listening to me? If you are somebody that we can do without, or your job can do without, then you are not significant. And that's why I want to share with us today. Preparation to significance. Significance comes with preparation. Somebody say preparation. Somebody says preparation. What does preparation mean? Preparation is simply having gone through a process of readiness for an occasion or event. Having gone through a process of readiness for an occasion or an event. God has given us his promises. Those promises will not jump on anybody. Praise the Lord. But then we accept it by faith, And if God has given that promise and I have accepted it by faith, shouldn't I prepare for its manifestation? Should I not prepare for its manifestation? Opportunities passes us by on a daily basis. Amen? But not many people can maximize those opportunities. You know why? Because you cannot maximize an opportunity you are not prepared for. Is somebody getting me? You can't maximize an opportunity that you are not prepared for. If you are not prepared for it, it will pass by and it will go to somebody else who was prepared or who is prepared for it. The Bible says in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 verse 11, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, nor bread to the wise, nor riches to men of understanding, nor favor to men of skill, but time and chance happen to them all. We need to have understanding of this. That is to say, if you are prepared, that time and chance, you can fill that void. Praise the Lord. Because the chance came to you, the opportunity came to you, but you are too small for the opportunity that is presented to you, it will be impossible to occupy it. Before David was called to go and play for Saul, for his madness to go, David was already prepared. He had been preparing for what he did not know. What are you been preparing for? Hallelujah. Opportunities must not catch you by surprise again this year. Did you hear me? I say opportunity must not catch you by surprise again this year. Oh, if I knew, if I had known, that would not be your story. In Jesus' mighty name. Life throws curveballs. Yes, I may be prepared, and life throws curveballs. But the thing is, are you prepared for anything that can happen this year? Are you prepared? I want you to start preparing. It's not too late. This is still the first week of the year 2018. This is the time to start putting things in order so that in case this happens, you are ready. You are ready for it. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, if you are going to be significant, you must prepare. Hallelujah. Preparation affects every area of our lives. Whatever we do, it affects it. If you are somebody who doesn't prepare for anything, you just take it by chance. Que sera, sera. It will keep on sera, sera. And those who came to meet you will leave you. And they keep on advancing and advancing. One of the greatest things that is on my mind, apart from our focus on God this year, serving God, serving our community, I am trusting God that you will hear me and understand that each one of us, everybody in this church, every one of us, a member of Wisdom Assembly, apart from the house you live in, you must own real estate this year. And if you are renting, you must own your own home this year. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. After preparation, then we have action. Don't just prepare. Prepare to act. We see athletes. Athletes, they sell shoes. They sell clothes. We buy them. Nike says, when you buy this Nike shoe that Jordan is wearing, you will jump like Jordan. You know that's a lie. Hallelujah. You know you can't jump like Jordan because you wore the Nike shoe. But what they are saying is, buy the preparation of Jordan. Buy the discipline of Jordan. Because before Jordan became famous, He prepared. Praise the Lord. He was disciplined. Amen. They spent time and time to perfect their trade. Don't just go to work. Prepare for it. Prepare for what your boss might call you to do. And let your boss be surprised that, oh, you could do it. Oh, yes. It's just like you didn't try me. I can do much more than this. Praise the Lord. For some of us, if we are asked now, what is your vision for the next 5 years? You may not even know. If your boss, for example, asks you a question, what's your vision for the next 5 years? What will you say? What will you say? Because if it's your boss and you are next to that person, should you not say, well, at least I see me sitting on your seat? Isn't that true? I see me occupying your seat. I see me being promoted in your seat. And if he's not smart, he will be angry with you. Because he knows it will mean that he too will be promoted. And if he refuses, he will be moved. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Prepare. Get ready. Be ready to take action. Don't let anything catch you by surprise this year. Amen? Let's take a cue from God, for example. God, whose image we carry. God, he formed the earth, separated everything and put things in their rightful place. Why? Because he was going to create man. Amen? God prepared the earth. He put the sea where it belongs. Put the firmament where it belongs. Then the vegetation began to grow. And then inside it, he now prepared a garden. If God prepares, you should take a cue from that and prepare. Somebody say, I will prepare. Come on, say, I will prepare. Say, I will prepare. He prepared that garden for man to fellowship with him and for man to become responsible. So that man, in that garden, man was taught responsibility. He says, till the ground, take care of it. To be prepared also means to be responsible. Preparations means I am responsible. Hallelujah. Jesus said, in John 14, verse 2 and 3, in my Father's house, there are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you. Or I would have told you if it were not so. I go to prepare a place for you. I go to do what? I go to do what? Even Jesus says, I am going to prepare. The God Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, I am going to prepare. I am going to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself. That where I am, there you may be also. So God is showing us the importance of preparation. The importance of preparation. Preparation comes before success. We have to understand that. Preparation. Heaven being prepared makes heaven a significant place. What you prepare becomes significant eventually. Praise the Lord. Amen. What you prepare, even your outlook, prepare. Prepare your outlook. And prepare it in time and on time. You know, one of the dangers of not being prepared is pressure. When you are not prepared, you put unnecessary pressure on yourself. I'm sure some of you will be looking at me that this is a different Pastor Kadi who is preaching. Yes. No razzmatazz. I want you to get it. If you listen, you get it. Amen? If you are not prepared, you'll be under pressure. You don't need pressure. When you're under pressure, you make mistakes. When you're under pressure, you can't do well. You have an exam. You are not reading. You are not studying. And then the day of the exam came. Or maybe the exam is tomorrow morning. And now tonight, you start reading all night to cram and go to the exam in the morning. You find out that they finish the exam before you get there, because you will sleep. Or if you get there at all, you are not in position anymore. Your body is no longer your own. You put yourself under pressure. If you didn't study at all, you start chewing the pen and looking up, thinking the answers will come from there. It doesn't work like that. Tell your neighbor, say, prepare. Preparation also is not a one-stop thing. It's not a one and done it all. Preparation is a daily thing. Preparation is a daily thing. It's a daily thing. Every day I prepare my spiritual self. Every day I wake up early. I sit, I pray, I study, I listen. Every day, very early in the morning. Monday through Sunday, Monday to Monday, every day. I'm leading prayer. I don't just wake up and go and lead prayer. I'm already, prayer time is 5:30. I'm already awake at 4:15. I'm getting ready for 30 minutes of prayer. And it's beyond that 30 minutes. It's for the whole of my day that I'm preparing for at that time. So sometimes by 1 o'clock, I am done for the day. I have done everything I need to do. Only little instances that doesn't end like that. Praise the Lord. So preparation is what you do continually. It's a process. It's not a one-time event. What are the benefits of preparation? Adequate preparation adds value to whatever you have. Adequate preparation adds value to whatever you have. Adequate preparation adds value to whatever is in your hand. You may have something good, but if you don't prepare it well, good things will not be appreciated. Is somebody getting me? Number two, adequate preparation gives you confidence to carry out your assignment and be productive. If you are prepared, you have that confidence. You have that confidence. Especially when it comes to the work we do. I prepare, even though I prepare Sunday service, I don't have confidence. I feel inadequate coming up here to preach to anybody. You know why? It's not because of you. It's because of God. I'm coming here to speak on behalf of God. Who am I? So I have to go and pray again. Every day I go to the bathroom before I mount the pulpit. Not because I feel pressed. Naturally, I feel pressed spiritually, you know, so that by the time I appear, God will take control. Amen. Adequate preparation makes you ready for anything that life may throw at you. Anything that life may throw at you. And life throws things. We plan it one way, and suddenly it doesn't happen that way we plan it. Some people lose it at that point. No, you must be able to think fast. You must be able to think fast on your feet. Is there another way I can do this? Number Number four, adequate preparation rightly positions you when opportunities show up. Adequate preparation. We can take that from the story of David. We can take that from the story of Joseph. We can take that from the story of Esther. We can take that from the story of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were prepared for the opportunities that was coming their way. Somebody will not say, oh, I know a young boy who can play the harp and is skillful. They have seen him play before. They have heard him play before, not once, not twice. But he was prepared. Daniel said, give us water and vegetables. Don't worry, we'll prepare, we'll be ready. Before Esther marched before the king, she was prepared for many days. Many days. Before Nehemiah would present himself before the king and make that request, the request that the king initiated, he was prepared for months in the place of prayer. You know, it's funny that today we study and benefit from the lives of dead people. Dead men and women. Daniel, David, Esther. We are benefiting because these people, they prepared. They prepared. America is great today and free, a free country, because some people prepared. They were ready to do whatever it took to do it. Abraham Lincoln prepared several times. Even times he didn't make it, he went back again and gave it another shot. He prepared over and over and over and over until he succeeded. I pray that you will succeed this year. I say you will succeed this year and you'll be significant in Jesus' name. The Bible says in Proverbs 6, verse 6 to 11, go to the ant. Go and visit the ant. Go and study the ant. You sluggard. Consider our ways and be wise. God is saying, go and train in the ant camp. Go and be wise watching how the ants operate. He says, which having no captain, they have no leader, no overseer or ruler, provides our supply in the summer and gathers our food in the harvest. How long will you slumber, O sluggard? When will you rise from your sleep? A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall your poverty come on you like a prowler, and your need like an armed man. I looked at this scripture. I don't have time to break it down, but I'm believing God that you understand what this is. The characteristics of the ant. The ant, I don't think an ant lives beyond 80 or 90 days maximum. They don't live beyond that. But in those days, they become extremely productive. An ant can carry at least 15 to 20 times its own weight and lift it and take it. The ant, they know the weather. They are like the sons of Issachar. They knew what Israel ought to do. They knew what they have to do. They knew how they ought to prepare so that when winter comes, they are not starving. Amen? So I decided, I said, let me compare the human brain with that of an ant. And what was my finding? You can do that as well. Just Google it. It's very easy. The average size of a human brain in weight, how heavy it is 3 pounds. The average size of a human brain is 3 pounds. That's heavy. 3 pounds. In length, it's about 15 centimeters. Compared to the ant, the brain of an ant has about 250,000 cells. 250,000 cells. It shows the might and the majesty of God. That God can program 250,000 cells inside and out, that sometimes you need a magnifier to look at. The human brain has 10,000 million cells. Did you get that? 10,000 million cells. The ant has 250,000. I that I'm talking to you, 10,000 million cells. It says 40,000 ants as collectively the same size of a human brain. But God says they are smarter than you. They are smarter than me. Go and learn from them. And what differentiates the ant from humans? The ant knows how to prepare. They prepare. They don't just wait for what will happen. So I concluded, it's not the size of the brain that matters. Amen? But what you do with that brain, this year you will do well with it. I said this year you will do well with it. I said this year you will do well with it. In Jesus' name. Success is not sudden. You prepare for it. You prepare for success. And need I say to us this morning, it's not too late to start planning. This year is not too late to start planning. I have my plan for 2018 since last year. It's not too late to start planning. I already settled in my mind how much money I'm going to earn this year. Not from Wisdom Assembly. How much money I'm going to earn from my business, from my interactions, from my gift. I already settled it in my mind. I settled it in my mind. I'm going to be a better husband. I'm going to be a better father to my children. I'm going to be a better child of God. And I'm going to be a better pastor by the grace of God. Hallelujah. So I want to encourage you. Number one, prepare for your spiritual growth. That is the number one. Prepare for your spiritual growth by studying the word, listening to the word of God, reading good books. Don't read every book. Don't read every kind of book. Stop wasting money on junk books, magazines, and whatnot. You are buying fashion magazines that is not advancing your life. Rather, it's putting pressure on you that you have to catch up. I must buy it. I must buy that. I must look like that. That is a waste of money and that is a waste of life. Praise the Lord. Buy good books and read books that will stimulate your mind. Books that will give you ideas. Books that will give you the kind of confidence you require. Books that will help you start new businesses. Create new streams of income. Praise the Lord. Number two, prepare to give your best to God this year. Don't let it be like last year. If the way you gave yourself and gave of yourself to God last year is the same way you plan to do it this year, then you are already a failure. Give God the best. Give God your heart. Give God the totality of your heart. Don't give room to the devil this year. Make up your heart and ask God for the grace so that God can envelop your heart and take over your life. Number three, be faithful. Be faithful. Faithful to your spouse. Faithful at your job. Be faithful in your first fruit. be faithful in your tithing, be faithful in your offerings. The benefits are yours to enjoy. Hallelujah. Be faithful. Be faithful to yourself. Don't shortchange yourself. Number four, plan to improve your relationships. Be a better version of you. Be a better version. Every man, every woman has room for improvement. Be a better version of yourself. A better version of yourself is waiting to show up. Become it. By the grace of God, become it. Number five. Plan concerning your health. Plan concerning your health. Make healthy choices. I've decided, one of my decisions is how I eat, what I eat. I didn't put gym there, but that might happen. Praise God. I know my son is looking at me like this man is not serious. I am serious. I'm very serious. From last year, I already started making choices on what I eat, what I put in my mouth. You know, eliminate this, eliminate that. And sugar is one of it. Amen. I say amen. Amen. Be conscious. You see, if God is going to bless you, He's going to bless you through yourself. Amen. If you are going to be significant, it's you that is going to be significant. You can't be significant on a dead bed. That will not be our portion. In Jesus' name. Number six, plan to gain skills. Skills that you require for promotion. You are expecting to be promoted, but your work rate is nothing to write home about. Improve your skills. Catch up with your peers and surpass them. Number seven, this year 2018, plan your finances. Know the state of your account. Go back to the teachings we did last year. We are still going to do it this year. Plan your finances. It will help you. Don't be wasteful. Cut out excesses. Cut out wasteful spending. Before you spend, ask yourself, what is the benefit of this thing that I want to buy? And don't say, oh, I'll feel good. You can feel good without it. Praise the Lord. Stop shopping therapy. Bill pressure will come. You therapy with the money, spending it. When the bills come, you pile up pressure. And this year, I want to make something very clear as well. I didn't write this in my note. It just came to my mind. Please, if you are going to do business with anybody, whether in church or outside church, have a contract. Are you listening to me? It doesn't matter if it's your best friend. Have a contract. This is how we are going to do the business. This is what it's going to be. This is your profit. This is my profit. Have a written down contract. Please, nobody should bring their business issue to me that I wasn't part of. I'm serious about it. You make agreements behind and you have no documents to show and you want pastor to now be the arbitrator. No, I won't be. I won't. It's not my business. If you did it right, it will turn out well. Praise the Lord. Many people have hurt themselves because of this. Plan your finances. Don't be wasteful. Be smart. Be wise. Number 8. I wish I had time to break this down more. Plan to invest more. If you are saving, make sure you are saving because you have an investment plan. Savings account will not give you much, but investment can double your money. Wise investment. Seek advice though before you invest, but have that mindset of investing this year. I'll tell us more next time. The last thing I want to say before we rise up and pray is this. The Bible says, this is what the Lord said to Habakkuk. Habakkuk says, I will sit upon my watch and I wait to see what he's going to say. I wait to see. And when God began to speak to him, God says, write down the vision. Write it down. Have a piece of paper. Write down your vision. Don't put it in your brain. Somebody said, the sharpest, the smallest pencil is sharper than the sharpest brain. Write it down. Write. This year, this is my vision. And then under your vision, begin to write goals. Goals. How you are going to achieve them. Break them down. Break them down. This is where I'm going. This is how I'm going to get there. Before I get here, I will do this first. I will do this first. And then you have a roadmap to follow. And then God give you grace to be disciplined. Discipline to follow through. Is somebody listening to me? Don't just, oh, I have a vision. And it's in my head. You will never achieve it. Write it down. Put it in a place where you can see it all the time. A quick testimony to that. Just the one that came to my mind right now. When the doctor said my wife cannot have, never have a baby, we decided to write. She has always wanted 2 children. We decided to write the names of the children. We wrote it down. And we put it on the mirror in our bedroom. So each time you are there, the names are there. You are looking at the names. And you can see the baby. Praise the Lord. And the reason why is that it informs your decision. It informs your actions. It informs your associations. I'll talk about that more next week in Jesus' name.